So I will continue the topic that Professor De Villacqua started about minimum least squares. Okay? Professor De Villacqua focused on the linear case. I will review it briefly in a moment. Then I will show you the nonlinear case. A generalization of the problem in which the residuals are nonlinear. And on Tuesday, I'll try to show you some applications. So, linear least squares. As you have already seen, we have a matrix A with m rows and n columns, and generally m is greater and often in application much greater than n. You have b in a rank. You would like to solve the linear system ax equals b, which is unlikely to have a solution. So, the least square technique has to try to minimize the difference, the node of the difference between AX and B over all axes in Earth. Okay? So this is the definition of the problem. It is an optimization, unconstrained optimization problem, which Professor De Villacqua studied, let's say, from a linear numerical algebra point of view. So not really completely focusing on the problem as an optimization problem, but using other techniques. You've seen the composition method, QR method, singular value decomposition, and so on. So now I want to review it from an optimization point of view, and let's focus on which type of optimization problem it is and related things, and all the issues that are related with all the stuff we have been discussing in the previous semester. So rather than writing it this way, I can write exactly the same problem taking the square of the norm, okay? The two problems are exactly equivalent. The point x which minimizes the norm also minimizes the square of the norm. Clearly they are no negative numbers, and when you take the second power you are applying an increasing function, so the order is preserved. And also, just to simplify the computation, I also add 1/2. Okay? So this is exactly the same problem. So we are dealing with an optimization problem unconstrained, where the objective function is this one. 1/2 the square of the Euclidean norm of AX minus B. And I want to answer this question. Which kind of optimization problem is this?
Okay.
So, we clearly know it's an unconstrained optimization problem.
Let's compute the objective function explicitly, because the square of the norm is nothing but the scalar product of the vector with itself.
Okay, you can do all the steps,
here you have a scalar product, here you have
two sums you can develop
with
usual property. If you do the computation, so AF transpose AX minus AX transpose B and so on,
what you get in the end is 1 half X transpose A transpose AX, which is this, like this,
minus
A.
Oh, here I often make mistakes, so
this is so A transpose B. You get from this scalar product and this scalar product.
Okay, you have 1 half, but you have it twice, so the coefficient disappears. And then you have
1 half B transpose B.
If you look in my notes,
all the Italian notes, this 1 half is missing.
It's typo. But it doesn't mind. So, which type of function is this? Tell me.
Variable is X.
So this is this constant term, this is a linear term, and this is a quadratic term. Okay? So this is a quadratic function. Okay? We often use the quadratic function as an example, and we focus a little bit on them. This is a quadratic function in which
this is the matrix of
coefficients of second order terms.
This is the vector.
Of coefficients of first order terms, and this is
which is in an optimization framework is irrelevant.
Okay? So we are dealing with a quadratic function.
We generally call this Q.
Okay? And also I think we call this B, but now we have B here, so let's not change names. If you remember when we studied a little bit quadratic function,
we got that the gradient of the function is this matrix times x minus this vector. So the gradient is A transpose AX minus A transpose B.
Okay?
And the Hessian matrix, if you remember, is nothing but this matrix of coefficients. So it is A transpose A.
Okay? And this matrix is peculiar. Let's see, we know that the function F is convex if and only if its Hessian matrix is positive, semi-definite at every point. Notice that here, this matrix is always the same. It does not depend on X. Okay? And when you
And when you try to check if it is positive definite, that is,
you want to know if this term is greater than 0, greater or equal to 0.
In our case, what we get is y transpose a transpose a y, which is, by the way, a y transpose a y. And this is nothing but the norm, the square of the norm of a y. And so it is always greater or equal than 0.
So the Hessian matrix is positive semidefinite.
It's always positive semidefinite.
This means that this f is not only a quadratic function, but it is a quadratic convex function.
So probably we are dealing with the best of kind of unconstrained optimization problems.
We have a convex unconstrained optimization problems, and the objective function is also quadratic. So we do know that x star,
or x, let's say x bar is a minimum point if and only if it is a stationary point.
So if and only if the gradient at that point is zero, is the zero vector, because we are dealing with a convex unconstrained optimization problem.
And let's see what is the gradient.
We have that formula for the gradient. Okay?
So this is nothing but A transpose A x bar equals to A transpose B.
Here it is. Do you know this? You've seen this with Professor Bevilacqua last week. These are the normal equations. He called them the normal equation of these minimum least of these least square problems.
This is a system of normal.
So you have two ways to prove that x bar solves the least square problem if and only if it is a solution of the system of normal equations. The, let's say, numerical linear algebra technique that Professor Bevilacqua showed you last week, or via optimization. It's a convex optimization problem. You show that it is a convex optimization problem, so it is a minimum point of this problem, so it solves the least square problem if and only if the gradient is zero. And gradient equals zero is exactly the system of normal equations. Okay? So this is probably the main reason why I wanted to review the linear least square problem. I'm not done yet.
Suppose that A has maximum rank. Okay? That is
the minimum between M and N, generally M. So the columns of the matrix are linearly independent. Okay. You have an interesting property for maximum rank matrices, even if they are not square. AX, let's say AY, is equal to zero only if, if and only if, y is the zero vector. Okay. This is a is a property that follows immediately for from the definition of rank. Let's suppose this is M, okay? This is nothing but the columns of the matrix A summed with yi as coefficients, and this has to be the zero vector. But if the columns are linearly independent, this is possible if and only if y is zero. Okay? Columns are linearly independent, so if you get this, you can get zero if and only if you take just zeros as coefficients. Okay? But this is not what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is this. Is this here? Let's go back to the Hessian matrix of our objective function. Okay? If A is maximum rank, this is not greater or equal than zero. This is greater than zero whenever y is not zero because of this property. Okay? So we just check this fact that if A is maximum, as maximum length, then the Hessian matrix of our opposite function is positive definite and not just semi-definite. Okay? What does this mean? If you remember, in terms of F, if you remember, when the Hessian matrix of a function f is positive definite at every point, then the function is not simply convex, it is strictly convex. Okay? And what do we know about strictly convex functions? We know that, okay, let me put it as a question. How many minimum points does a strictly convex function have? At most one. Okay? So, the minimum of a strictly convex function is unique if it exists. Okay? So, this problem has at most one solution. But actually, since our function is also quadratic, okay, this actually means that the minimum quantity, okay, we are having a quadratic function, which is strictly convex. Okay. It goes to plus infinity as x goes to plus infinity. Our function is always greater or equal than zero. It cannot go to minus infinity. If you want to check this in terms of linear algebra, we are saying that this matrix is positive definite. If it is positive, definite, it is invertible. Okay? All alien values are positive. If it is invertible, where is it? This system of equation has a solution. Because it is x bar is the inverse of this matrix times this. Okay? So, if the matrix A has maximum rank, then we are dealing with a quadratic, strictly convex, unconstrained optimization problem, which therefore has exactly one solution. Okay? And Professor Bevilacqua showed you a number of ways to compute it, okay, which are obviously much more efficient than computing the inverse of these matrix directly. Okay, this is what I wanted to tell you about the linear case. Okay? So you see, you've seen it from a numerical analysis point of view, from a linear algebra, let's say, point of view, but it is actually an optimization problem which fits well in what we have done in the first semester. Now I want to introduce you a more general least square problem. Which is the non-linear least square problem. And I want to not simply introduce it to you, say, this is the problem. I want you to explain how it is related to this. So let's take once again this step. 1/2 the square of the norm of this vector. If we consider A1, A2, AN the rows of the matrix A and B1, Bm, the components of B, okay? This norm, as you know, can be written by the definition of norm as the sum over all i's of Aix minus Bi squared, okay? These are the components of this vector. So, if you name this function Ri, this is 1/2 the sum over all I of Ri, square computed Rx. Where Ri are affine functions, so it means linear plus a constant value. Okay? And indeed, the name linear least squares comes from the fact that these are, okay, let's forget about the, difference between affine and linear. Okay. These are linear functions. Okay. If you look at this as an optimization problem, this is not a linear optimization problem. Okay. We have seen that it is a quadratic, convex, and constrained optimization problem. It's not a linear problem. So the fact, the name linear does not come from the type of optimization problem you are solving, but from the type of these functions, okay, which are the called also residual, okay, standard name is residual. You are summing squares of functions. You would like all of them to be zero. The ideal minimum is to find an x for which all of these are zero. Okay. Nonlinear case just says, okay, let's consider this optimization problem in which the residuals are generic nonlinear functions. Okay. So it is to minimize 1/2 the sum of m squared functions. Where Ri's are from Rn to R are in general non-linear functions. Somehow I could stop here because this is a generic unconstrained optimization problem. Okay? We spent the whole first semester studying unconstrained optimization. I could tell you, okay, we spent the whole semester on this. You can solve this problem with the methods we studied during the semester. Okay? Well, the point is the following. This objective function has a special structure. It's not just any generic, it has a special structure. Okay. So, we could try to, let's say, develop further methods which exploit this structure. Okay? If we apply any unconstrained optimization method that we have already seen, there's no difference from the fact that this function has this form or it is a generic F. Okay? Instead, I want to exploit this form, the fact that the function is a sum of squares. Okay. Actually, I will show you in this lecture that we can specialize the methods we already seen for this exploiting this structure. Okay. And we will develop a new method for this case. Okay. Which is somehow an hybrid between Rayleigh and Newton method. Okay? Because we will start, let's say, thinking about the Newton method, and then we will find that the modification we apply sends us back to the Rayleigh type method. Okay? To do this, I need a boring thing that is computing the derivatives of this function f. Okay, exploiting the residual functions. Okay, so the plan is the following. We make this boring computation, then we take a small break, and then I will show you the idea of the algorithm.
Okay. If we take
a partial derivative of nothing, of let's say r I squared x, and this is the function.
Okay.
Applying the usual chain rule for composite function, we have r I, and then we have the function that brings, let's say, t into t squared. Okay. As usual, you take the derivative of the basis of a right, and then you multiply for the derivative as if this were a variable. So 2r I. Okay. This is the derivative of the square of the function. So the gradient of L I squared is 2 times L I for the gradient of L I.
Okay.
La solita cosa, quando fate la derivata di una funzione elevata al quadrato, fate la derivata della funzione per 2 volte la funzione.
This is the feature, because computing now the gradient of our x is pretty easy, because this is the sum of L I squared, so the gradient of f is the sum all over I of the gradient of L I squared, and we know
this relation, so
this is nothing but the sum for m equal 1 to m, let's say 2 times r I x gradient of r I x.
Okay. Let me introduce this notation.
Let's consider capital R the function, the vector function whose components are the L I. So the first component is R1 of x, the second is R2 of x, and the last one is R1 of x. Okay.
To each vector x in Rn, we associate this vector. Okay. We consider all these as a unique vector. Okay.
If you consider the Jacobian matrix of this vector, we know by definition that this is a matrix whose rows are the vectors of R1, R2, R3, Rn.
Okay? Well, just notice that if you take
the transpose of the Jacobian matrix of capital R times R itself, you exactly get it. Okay, because
You see, if we, when you do the product of this matrix with this vector, what you get is R1 x times this vector plus R2 x times this vector and so on, which is exactly which is exactly okay. Sorry, there was no two here because just to not have it, we generally take 1/2 here. Okay. So relevant information, we have that the gradient of f is the transpose of the Jacobian of capital R at x times capital R at x itself. Okay? Now we can make a computation for the Hessian matrix. The derivative with respect to xk of the derivative with respect to xl of x. Okay? This, you know, is the derivative with respect to xk of the derivative with respect to xk. We do know this derivative, it is here, it's the R component of this vector, so this is the derivative with respect to xk of the sum for t equal 1 to n of r I, the derivative with respect to xl of r I. I just replaced here this expression. Okay. And then we don't have the two because we have one up. And now I have to make the derivative of this. The derivative of this is the sum of the derivative So we take the derivative of this times this and this times the derivative of this. So this is the derivative with respect to x star of r I times the derivative with respect to k of r I plus r I times the derivative with respect to x k of the derivative with respect to x star of R. Okay? This is the formula. We can write it in a better way. Okay.
So, if this term, and I will explain you in a minute why this is the Jacobian of capital F times the Jacobian of capital F, plus, this is much easier, because,
sorry,
it's the KF component. This is a coefficient times the element KL of the Hessian matrix over R. So this is plus the sum for plus M. Of Ri times the Hessian matrix of Ri x, and we take the k as common.
Okay.
So notice this will be the final result that seems the KL element of this matrix is the KL element of this matrix plus the KL element of this matrix. If you want to write this in matrix terms, it is the transpose of the Jacobian times the Jacobian plus the sum over I of L I X, the Hessian of L I X. Okay, so this will be the formula
that we are going to exploit.
I still have to give you one boring detail, that is why this is this term.
Okay? Well, let's check it directly.
Let's write the matrix. So this matrix times these other matrix.
We want to take the KL element,
we take row K here and column L here. What is the K column here? You are doing the derivative with respect to XK of all Ri, R2, Rm. So this.
Okay?
And if you take the L column of this, you are making the derivative with respect to XL of R1, R2, Rm. So this. And then you are doing the scalar product of the two vectors. This is the scalar product of these two vectors. Okay? Which is the KL element of this matrix.
Okay. Boring, but obvious.
So, now we take a break, very short today, and then we'll exploit this formula to develop
a method to minimize all over the full space this f. Okay? Somehow we forget about f and we have just the residual functions to take care of. Okay, so 5 minutes break.